Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
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 Podbean. The AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
Thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
My school uses Podbean.
My church, too.
I love it. I really do.
In the shadows of myth and reality, monsters stir. From ancient legends to modern nightmares, we explore the creatures that haunt our stories and sometimes our lives. Welcome to Among Monsters podcast, where the line between man and monsters is thinner than you think.
Paradise Lost, the Honolulu Strangler. Welcome to Among Monsters. I am Damian Vale, your host. Tonight, we travel to a place that embodies dreams of paradise, a chain of islands famous for its pristine beaches, swaying palm trees, and the warm embrace of the Pacific Ocean. But in the mid-1980s, the sun-drenched facade of Honolulu, Hawaii, was shattered by a chilling reality. A brutal predator emerged from the shadows, systematically preying on women, leaving a trail of terror and unanswered questions that haunt the islands to this day. This is the story of the Honolulu Strangler, an unidentified monster who raped and murdered five women, casting a dark cloud over what was supposed to be an idyllic existence. The nightmare began on May 29, and 1985, with the disappearance of 25-year-old Vicki Gale Purdy. A military spouse, Vicki was last seen leaving a nightclub in Waikiki. Her body was discovered the following morning, discarded in an embankment at Kihei Lagoon. The scene was horrific. She had been raped, her hands were bound behind her back, and she had been strangled. The brutality of the attack immediately sent shockwaves through the community. Was this an isolated incident, a tragic one-off event, or was something far more sinister at play? The Honolulu Police Department launched an investigation, but initial leads were scarce, and the tropical warmth soon became tinged with an underlying chill of unease. The city held its breath, hoping the tragedy was an anomaly. But 8 months later, on January 14, 1986, the terrifying pattern solidified. 17-year-old Regina Sakamoto, a high school student, missed her bus to school in Waipahu. Her body was found the next day also at Kihei Lagoon. Like Vicki Purdy, Regina had been raped, her hands were bound, and she had been strangled. The similarities were too profound to ignore. Two young women. Same method of death, same location for disposal. Honolulu knew, with a dawning horror, that a serial killer was lurking in their paradise. The term Honolulu Strangler began to whisper through the coconut groves, carried by the trade winds. The fear intensified with the third victim, 21-year-old Denise Hughes, a secretary who commuted by bus. She disappeared on January 30th, 1986, and her body was discovered on February 1st in Moanalua Stream. Her body, though decomposing, bore the grim hallmarks of the previous murders: bound hands, sexual assault, and strangulation. By this point, panic was palpable. The Honolulu Police Department, recognizing the grim reality, established a 27-member serial killer task force, enlisting assistance from the FBI and even consulting with the Green River Task Force in Seattle, which was grappling with its own unsolved serial killer. The islands, usually a symbol of peace and relaxation, were now a landscape of fear. The modus operandi of the Honolulu Strangler was becoming clear.
Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
Podbean. The AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Use Podbean to record your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to optimize your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to turn your blog into a podcast.
Use Podbean to distribute your podcast everywhere.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
Clear. He preyed on women who were vulnerable, often alone at night or early morning, particularly those using public transportation or near bus stops. He was an opportunist rather than a stalker, likely living or working in the areas where the attacks occurred, such as Waipahu or near Sand Island. His victims were varied in age and background, but they all shared the terrible fate of being raped, bound, and strangled. The choice of Kei Hai Lagoon and nearby streams as disposal sites suggested familiarity with the terrain and a desire for isolation. The killings continued with grim regularity. On March 26, 1986, Luis Medeiros, 25, disappeared after returning from a trip to Kauai. Her body, like the others, was found discarded near Waikale Stream, with her hands bound. The fourth victim, Louise, was also 3 months pregnant. The discovery of her body only deepened the public's terror. Police launched sting operations, utilizing female officers in plain clothes around known bus stops and vulnerable areas, hoping to lure the killer out. But he remained elusive, a phantom moving through the shadows of paradise. The fifth and final known victim was Linda Pesce, 36, who vanished on April 29, 1986. Her body was discovered on May 3rd, nude and with her hands bound behind her back on Sand Island. The meticulousness of the disposal, the similar binding technique, solidified the link to the previous four victims. The community was in a state of crisis. Residents, particularly women, were urged to travel in groups, to avoid hitchhiking, and to be constantly aware of their surroundings. The carefree atmosphere that Hawaii was known for had been replaced by an unsettling sense of vulnerability. The monster in this narrative is particularly insidious because he embodied a violation of trust in a place where people felt inherently safe. He was not a supernatural entity, but a human being who understood vulnerability and exploited it with chilling precision. His targets were women simply going about their daily lives. A military wife returning from a night out, a high school student heading to school, a secretary commuting, a woman returning home from a family bereavement. The Honolulu Strangler represented the shattering of the illusion of paradise, revealing the brutal darkness that could exist even in the most beautiful of settings. During the intense investigation, police developed a profile of the killer. He was likely a smooth talker, able to gain the trust of his victims. He was probably Caucasian or of mixed race, possibly drove a light-colored van, and had a fetish for binding his victims. A primary suspect, Howard Gay, a mechanic who worked near the areas of the attacks, was eventually arrested on May 9, 1986, in connection with Linda Pesce's murder. His ex-wife and girlfriend described him as having a smooth demeanor and even revealed a history of engaging in bondage. His girlfriend also told police that Gay would sometimes leave the house after they fought, and these occasions aligned with the murder dates. Gay was interrogated and reportedly failed a polygraph test. A witness even came forward, identifying Gay in a photo lineup as the man she saw with one of the victims. However, despite these compelling details, Howard Gay was eventually released due to insufficient evidence. Without enough direct physical evidence or a confession that could be used in court, prosecutors were unable to move forward with charges. The legal complexities and the limitations of forensic technology in the 1980s played a significant role. Howard Gay died in 2003, never officially charged with any of the Honolulu Strangler murders, leaving the case unresolved. The cases of the Honolulu Strangler remain officially unsolved, a persistent dark stain on Hawaii's idyllic reputation. For the families of Vicki Gale Purdy, Regina Sakamoto, Denise Hughes, Louise Medeiros, and Linda Pesce, the lack of definitive justice is an ongoing torment. The murders profoundly impacted Hawaii in the 1980s, eroding the sense of safety and community. It forced residents and tourists alike to confront the harsh reality that even in paradise, true evil can exist, and sometimes it can escape the grasp of justice. The Honolulu Strangler embodies the fear of the unknown predator, the one who operates in the familiar, turning everyday routines into deadly traps. His story serves as a chilling testament to the vulnerability of individuals and the enduring pain of unsolved crimes. A stark reminder that even in the most beautiful places on Earth, monsters can walk freely, their true identities forever shrouded in the shadows of a lost era. The quest for answers continues, fueled by the hope that one day, the chilling mystery of the Honolulu Strangler will finally be brought to light.
Thank you for listening to Among Monsters podcast. Find more episodes of Among Monsters podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, or anywhere premium podcasts exist. Email us at amongmonsterspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you.